الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد الصادق الوعد الأمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has led this here today to listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make His garden of ours and means of success for us in Islam and in life around us, inshaAllah. It's a great blessing to be here in Central Jannah Masjid, mashaAllah. I want to say Zakallah to the Prophet Bilal for organizing this event as well, inshaAllah. And you know, today is Saturday night, and I'm very, very surprised, mashallah, to see so many youth here. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accepts all of you today, inshallah. So the topic today is regarding the youth. The title of the talk is, Youth, a Blessing or a Curse? Now, the youth age is from the many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question may come, then why did we title the talk, A Blessing or a Curse? You see, with every blessing, that blessing, if you don't show gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then immediately that blessing will turn into a punishment. This is why there's a famous saying, the Arabs, they say, that كُلُّ نِعْمَةٍ إِذَا لَمْ تَتَقَرَّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ نِعْمَةٌ. And that every single blessing which does not bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in actual fact, it is a punishment of Allah. You have the blessing of health. If you don't use that health in the right way to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in actual fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually giving you that as a punishment. Why? Because for each and every single blessing of Allah, we will all be accountable. You have the blessing of wealth. You don't use that wealth in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't spend in the path of Allah. You don't spend, for example, to go for Hajj. And that wealth is not actually a blessing, but rather it is a punishment for Allah. In the same way, we have the blessing of youth. Youth age is a very, very great blessing of Allah. But you see, the youngsters who are sitting here, listen very carefully. If you do not use this time wisely, then in the future you'll regret it. This is why there's one very famous poet, he says in Arabic that نَدِمْتُ عَلَى شَبَابٍ بِدَمْعِ عَيْنِي فَلَمْ يُفِدِ الْبُكَارُ وَلَمْ نَحِيمُ أَلَا لَيْتَ الشَّبَابِ يَعُودُ يَوْمًا فَأَخْبِرْهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ النَّشِيمُ. He says that I am lamenting and regretting over all the time that I wasted when I was younger. And how am I lamenting, how am I regretting? بِدَمْعِ عَيْنِي, by crying, with the tears that are rolling down my eyes, rolling down from my eyes onto my cheeks. But then he says, فَلَمْ يُفِدِ الْبُكَاءُ وَلَا النَّعِيبُ, that crying and wailing will not benefit me now. It's too late, I'm too old. Then he says, أَلَا لَيْتَ الشَّبَابَ يَعُودُ يَوْمًا, if only youth age would come back to me once again. فَأَخْبِرْهُ بِمَا فَعَلَ الْمَشِيبُ, so I may tell youth age what old age will do to me. You ask your elders that what do you regret? You know, I teach other adults that read Arabic and other subjects, and they all say to me one thing, that if only I was younger and I spent time learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because now I've got too many commitments. Now I'm married, I've got a wife to look after, I've got a house to run, I've got children to look after, I've got work to go to. And now I don't have time. You know, the thing about seeking knowledge, brothers, is that you need to spend a lot of time with it, especially with the Arabic language. But because of all of these responsibilities, they will all say the same thing. that if only when I was a youngster, when I was in my teens, when I was 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, instead of wasting my time on the streets with my friends, doing nothing beneficial for me, if only I spent those times learning the deen of Allah, where would have I reached? So youth age, dear brothers, is a very, very great, great, great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. He says that take benefit of five things before five. And one of the things he mentions, he says شبابك قبل هولك. That take benefit of your youth age before you become old. However, if we look at the reality today, and this is where we're going to get a reality check. The youth, unfortunately, you see, if you compare history and what we find presently. In history, you have the likes of Imam Bukhari, you have the likes of Imam Shafi'i, you have the likes of Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahumullah. All of these great scholars, they didn't become great scholars at the age of 40. They didn't become great scholars at the age of 50. They become great scholars at the age of 18. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was approximately 7 years old to 9 years old, he memorized the entire Quran. Thereafter, he went on to memorize the hadith when he was, you know, in his early teens. When he reached the age of 19, 20, he became a muhaddith. You compare that to now. The youngsters today at the age of 18, 19, they can't even read Surah Al-Fatiha. They don't even know the basics of their religion. And you see, this is where society is going wrong. We ponder over why society is falling, why society is breaking, why society is going down, why are there so many problems in our community? It all boils down to our youth. If you do not nurture the youngsters from now, they will grow up knowing nothing about their religion. They will have no morals in their lives. They will have no etiquette in their lives. And as a result, they'll be corrupting society. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he says that ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minal nas as-sihhatu wal farah. That there are two blessings which many, many people are unaware of. Number one, as-sihha, good health, wal farah, and free time. Now, we find that the youth have both of these blessings. Majority of the youth, they have both of these two blessings. They have good health, and they also have free time. In one very famous hadith, which many of us may have heard before, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that سَبَعَةٌ يُضِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. That there are seven categories of people, seven types of people which will receive the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein there will be no shade on the day of Qiyamah. Only the shade of Allah. One of these types of people will be شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. A young child who had the capability of committing sin, who had all of the resources to commit sin. However, he sacrificed at a young age and he spent that time worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the reward of that person? He will receive the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. But unfortunately, dear brothers, our youth, what is their situation? You know, we don't need to think very, very far. All you need to do is just one thing. Come to the masjid. For any salah, you will find that the majority of the people are the middle-aged men or our elders. Whereas the majority of the people should be the youth. This is sufficient to tell us where the problem is. Our youth are spending their time on the streets, some of them taking drugs, some of them involved in gangs, and they think that they are going to achieve something beneficial out of this. It is a delusion that Shaytan has put on their eyes. It is a cover that Shaytan has put on their eyes.
And as a result, by listening to all of that rap, by watching all of those films, they think that they are going to imitate that person and they're going to achieve the same person as that rapper or that same person as that actor. They will spend 10, 15 years trying to achieve what they achieved. At the end of the day, they will achieve nothing. They will waste their education. They will grow up and they will lament and they will regret all of the time that they wasted. You see, salah, dear brothers, salah is such a powerful thing. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he narrates an incident. And this incident was regarding Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, one day he was crying. Someone came to him and said, "Why are you crying, O Anas?" He said that, "When I look around in society, I find nothing which imitates the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except for salah in jama'ah." Right? He says that everything is gone. You see, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he was a very young sahabi. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was only 20 years old. And he lived all the way until the 96th year of Hijri, approximately. So he had a very long life and he saw a lot. So he said that my time right now and the time that I have lived after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have found that there has been nothing, no quality remains which was present at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except for salah in jama'ah. But the reason why I'm crying is not because of that. The reason I'm crying is because even this quality has gone now. We're talking at a time where we had great scholars alive. We're talking at a time where Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and other companions were still alive. Just imagine he would look at the time today. Just imagine Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu was alive today and he saw our state. And this is, you know, it hits home the point that I'm trying to make. That our youth, unfortunately, they find more pleasure in chasing the dunya. They find more pleasure chasing girls. They find more pleasure gambling. They find more pleasure going out on a Saturday night and a Friday night partying. Disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not knowing that death can strike at any time. Death can strike at any time. There's no time limit. We all know our date of birth. No one knows the date of death. Go to the graveyards and look at the tombstones and you will find that there's no consistent age. You see one person, he's died at the age of 96. Another person died at the age of 80. Another person died at the age of 50. Another person, he died at the age of 30. Another person, he died at the age of 14 years old. Death does not distinguish. Malakul maut will not distinguish. When your time comes, it will come in any state that you are in. Meaning that if you are gambling, if you are engaging in illicit relationship, if you are taking drugs, if you are wasting your time on the streets, and death comes to you at that time, there will be no second chance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that تَمُوتُونَ كَمَا تَحْيَوْنَ. You will die in the same state that you lived. وَتُبَعَثُونَ كَمَا تَمُوتُونَ. And you will be raised on the day of Qiyamah in the same state you passed through. We all heard the hadith that, oh, when we are leaving this world, whosoever at this moment says, La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah, he will enter Jannah straight away. But you see, everyone thinks that, oh yeah, you know, it's fine, I'll do whatever I want in this dunya. I'll party, I'll, you know, gamble, I'll take drugs, I'll, you know, do all of these haram things. But when my death comes, I will say, La ilaha illallah. And I'll enter Jannah, everything's good. Right? But you see, this is where delusion comes in. This is where shaitan deceives many, many people. You know, actually, one very, very interesting point. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu and many other companions, they heard this hadith that whosoever says La ilaha illallah with yaqeen in Allah, with sincerity in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person will enter Jannah. Jannah is guaranteed for that person. I.e., when we say La ilaha illallah, we'll enter Jannah.
But he says that I haven't narrated this until now. He narrated this hadith when he was extremely old and he was near to, he was very close to passing away. And he narrated this right at the end. Even Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, you know, this was a habit of the companion. They were very, very scared of narrating a hadith. They were scared that they may say something which is wrong. And mashallah, these days, we just narrate hadith, you know, however we like. We give fatwa however we like, thinking we know about the religion of Allah. Whereas you had the likes of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who was so scared of narrating one single hadith. But then he heard another hadith, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that whosoever conceals knowledge, actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that whosoever conceals that which Allah has revealed, then for him will be punishment in this dunya and in the akhirah. He says, as soon as I heard this verse of the Quran, that is when I started narrating ahadith. And he narrated so many ahadith that he is known as the sahabi, the companion who has narrated the most ahadith out of all of the companions. So anyway, this sahabi, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he didn't narrate this hadith until right at the end. And he said, the only reason I've delayed it is because I know that if I narrate this hadith, yattakilu nas, people will become laid back. That, you know, that's it. That means you can party, right? No salah, no fajr, no masjid, no Islam, no Allah. But when death comes, you say la ilaha illallah, and that's it. Everything's good. But you see, you need to understand one very important point. What did the Prophet say in the hadith? He says, tamutuna kama tahyaw. You will die in the same state that you lived in. I.e., if you didn't live by la ilaha illallah, will you die by la ilaha illallah? You will never ever have a life. Right? I was going to say try it, but we don't want to try it. Right? You see, shaitan at this moment, when we are passing away, shaitan uses his utmost strength to completely destroy us. Why? Because this is his last opportunity. This is his last opportunity to destroy us once and for all. So when we are passing away, these last few moments will be a summary of your entire life. If you live by la ilaha illallah, i.e. you prioritize Allah over everything else, then you will die by la ilaha. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the ability to say la ilaha illallah. But unfortunately our youth, they are spending their youth, they are spending their time in the disobedience of Allah. Parents complain that my child doesn't pray his salah. They complain that my child doesn't listen to me. My child goes out whenever he wants to. He comes back whenever he wants to. He's hanging around in the wrong company. But you see, this is where we need to shift the conversation. We need to shift the discussion. The discussion is now going to be shifted onto the parents. What is the role of the parents? Unfortunately, you see, dunya has distracted us so much that parents have no time for their children these days. You go home, son will be in his room, the father will be doing his own thing, mother will be doing her own thing, daughter will be doing her own thing. No one cares about anyone. We live under the same house, but we don't know that our father is going through so much stress because of us. We live under the same house, but we don't know that our son is being bullied. Our son is getting suicidal thoughts. Why? Because he has been misled by the wrong people, he's involved in drugs, and as a result, he has no other option but to take his own life away. See, what has distracted us? Dunya has distracted us. Father is always busy at work. Oh, his mind is always there. He comes home late in the night. He comes home 7, 8 o'clock in the night. He's knackered, he's shattered. And as a result, what does he do? He lays on the sofa, he watches TV, and he wants to unwind. What are the children doing? Oh, just give them the laptop, just give them the iPad, just give them the iPhone, and let them just sit there. Give them the PlayStation, give them an Xbox. Switch the TV on, and let them sit there, they won't annoy us. This is our attitude. But you need to realize one very important thing. Those of you who've got young children, and those of you who are still, you know, not even married yet, listen to this very carefully. Those of you who are newly married and haven't got kids yet, listen to this point very carefully. As soon as you are handing over that iPad or that iPhone to the child, get ready for his destruction. You are not just
handing the iPhone or the iPad to that child. You are handing over shaitan to that child. Who is going to do the talbiyah of that child now? That iPad is going to do it. You will start off with simple game, that temple run. Right? Simple game, that temple run. And thereafter it's going to escalate. Facebook will come in, Instagram will come in, Twitter will come in, Snapchat will come in, all of these social media apps will come in. You will start, you know, you start befriending those people who he doesn't even know. You will start talking to girls that, you know, that are non-mahram, that he shouldn't be talking to. You will meet up with people he doesn't even know. And as a result, what will happen? See, Rasulullah, he predicted this 1400 years ago. What did he say? He said a time will come near the day of Qiyamah where people who are very, very far away, they will come close to us, and those of you who are close, they will come very, very far away to us. This is exactly the job of social media, right? This is exactly what social media is doing to us. That person who, that friend that lives in Australia, in New Zealand, the other side of the world, right? He is more closer to us than your father who is living in the same house and sitting in the next room. This is the state of the Muslim woman today. But my job here is not to depress anyone, but rather we are identifying these problems so that we may look for the solutions. So anyway, coming back to my point, I was talking about the parents, that what is the function of the parents today? The function of your parents should not be that you don't even care about what that child is doing. You don't care about who that child is hanging around, who his friends are. This is what is happening today. And like I said, you see the dunya is distracting us so much. And as a result, it's not just the children's fault. It's not just the youngster's fault. It's also the parents' fault. This is why Ali radiallahu anhu, he gives one very, very important advice about talbiyah. Every single parent, listen very carefully, memorize what I'm going to say. If you can't memorize it, then write it down on your phones. What did he say? He says he split up the talbiyah of the child, the upbringing of a child, into four stages. Number one, into three stages. La'ibuhu sab'an. He says for the first 7 years, you play with the child. Play with the child, the first 7 years. Then he says, addibuhu sab'an. For the next 7 years, you teach them about the religion of Allah. You teach them mannerism. You teach them etiquettes and morals and ethics. And then he says, خَالِلُوا سَبَعًا. Once you've done this, naturally what will happen, that child will become the friend of that father. This is what is going to happen. خَالِلُوا سَبَعًا. For the last 7 years, when that child is going through the youth age, he is going to face various different types of difficulties. His body is going to be changing. He's going to hit puberty. His body is going to be changing. His emotions are going to be changing. He's going to be pressurized from different groups of people. At school, he's going to be pressurized from different types of people. Once, on the one side, he'll be thinking about the religion of Allah. But on the other side, he'll be, you know, his friends will be pulling him to the disobedience of Allah. That's what Allah says in the Quran. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا. There's two things. There's a battle between your shaitani side and your angelic side. The shaitani side is telling you, you know, he promises you that go and gamble. Why? Because you are in debt. Go and gamble. Why? Because you are facing poverty. Go and gamble because you can't make ends meet. ويأمركم بالفحشاء, and he command you to do those things which are shameless. Shameless things we'll be doing. Haya will go out of the window. But then Allah says, what does Allah promise you? This is what shaitan is promising you. What does Allah promise you? وَاللَّهُ يَعِدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. Allah is promising you honor and bounty in this world. How? By forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you dedicate worship to Him, then immediately you'll be promised the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. That play with them in the first 7 years. Then teach them the religion of Allah. Teach them manners in the next 7 years. And in the last 7 years, become their friend. Why become their friend? Because when they are going through issues, when that son who is 14, 15, 16, or that daughter who is at the age of 14, 15, 16, because they are comfortable around their parents, they can tell their parents anything and anything they do, any mistakes that they make, because they know that yes, that my parents will become angry with me, but my parents, he will never ever abandon me. My parents, they are there to guide me in the right direction. But what is happening today, our friends are more closer to us than our parents. And as a result, the mistakes that we make, instead of seeking guidance from our parents who have wisdom, who see good for us, we seek guidance from our friends who haven't experienced life yet, who don't really care about us. And if they do care about you, that's a blessing of Allah. But at that age, normally, no one really cares about you. You're just friends for the sake of it. When life moves on, when you become adults, when you run your own houses, when you have jobs, when you are responsible for other people, this is where true friends will matter. So you see, brothers who are parents here, parents who are sitting here, the problems of the youth is not just based on the youth. It is a, you know, it is a two-way thing that is happening. Parents are at fault and the youth are at fault as well. As soon as we take importance to do the tarbiyah of our children, this is when we start seeing a change. And like I said, the dunya is distracting us so much. Money is distracting us so much. You see, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives examples of this dunya, and He says that وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Many times Allah, He gives example that this dunya is like rain. The question comes, why does Allah compare the dunya to the rain, the world to the rain? Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala in his tafsir under this verse, he mentions many reasons. One of those reasons he mentions is that because rain, if it rains too much, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? It's going to be a flood. Is it going to be beneficial or harmful? Too much rain. Harmful, right? Rain in proportion is beneficial for us because it is going to give growth to the crops. But too much rain is going to destroy the crops. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is comparing the dunya to rain. Because rain in proportion is good for us, but too much rain is not good for us. In the same way, dunya in proportion is good for us, but too much dunya is not good for us. There is one incident that is mentioned in the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah. Again, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he was a youngster and he was a person who, you know, received the, you know, very close companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was very young at the time of the Prophet. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he seized this opportunity. It was just him and Ibn Abbas, no one else. So Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, when he was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that, ya bunayya, inni u'allimuka kalimatin. He says, oh my beloved child, today I'm going to teach you something very, very important. What do you say? He said, ihfadillaha yahfadka. Protect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Then he said that, realize one very important thing, that if the entire dunya, all of the forces of the world were to gather to bring harm to you in the least bit, they will not be able to harm you in the least bit if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not desire. And on the other hand, if the entire world, all of the forces of the dunya were to gather and they were to bring benefit to you in the least bit, they will not be able to benefit you in the least bit unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed it. The ulama mentioned that why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving this particular advice? He is building the yaqeen and the tawakkul, the certainty and the reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of Ibn Abbas, who is at a young age. Why is he mentioning this? Why is he doing this? Because this is exactly what our youngsters need. Youngsters, they're worried about life. When they hit the age of 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, they are worried about university. Am I going to get into this particular university? Am I going to get the grades? When they are in university, they are thinking, what about my job? They start applying here and there. They start sending emails here and there. They attend all sorts of interviews. They travel all over the country to attend interviews. Why? Because they have worry and concern that what is going to happen to my life? This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching this particular lesson. That listen, no matter what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He wishes will happen. Have tawakkul and have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what our youth, this is what our youth need today. Now just to come near the end, just to conclude on the last few points. Going back to the youth, we need to realize, youngsters, that shaytan is constantly behind our back. And he is not going to give up. It's like a boxing match. Right? It's like you are in a boxing match, the World Heavyweight Championship, right? The World Heavyweight title is on the line. But you're not going to get a belt, you're going to get a ticket to Jannah. And this competition that is taking place, you're in a boxing match, you're in the ring. You know, mashallah, we have one of these big, big names that, you know, attract so much attention, that everyone knows about. People who stay up late till 3, 4 o'clock. They're not willing to stay up late for the sake of Allah, but they're willing to stay up late to watch a boxing match which will end sometimes in 30 seconds. Ajeev, you see, this is where our priorities are going wrong, you see. We can't wake up with Fajr al-Sahar, you know, Fajr al-Sahar. When you say, you know, Mayweather's fight with Pacquiao is going to be at 3 o'clock in the morning. I see, I'll be there, man. I see early and I'll be there. And he'll be there half an hour early. You see, if we showed the religion of Allah this much importance, then Fajr would be a piece of cake. So we are in a boxing match with Shaytan. Shaytan is going to knock us down again and again and again and again. But you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is going to be the judge of this boxing match. Not these fake judges that we have today. It is going to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not look at how many times we've been knocked down, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at how many times we got back up with tawbah, with forgiveness. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at. And you see, the last round is the most important round. Right? Just imagine, you're watching a boxing match, you sacrifice the entire night, and it's a tense match. You don't know who's going to win. Not like Mayweather and Pacquiao, right? Where one was running away from the other. That this is a serious match. We don't know who's going to win. And it's all down to this last final round. And this final round, dear brothers, is when we are departing from this world. When we are departing from this world, this is when the knockout will count. Once you're knocked out, that's it, you've knocked out, you're gone. You know, you're unconscious, that's it, you're going to wake up in the hospital now. But see, what will happen? Like I said earlier, if all of those rounds with Shaytan, we kept on getting knocked down, but we only got back up because we had to get back up. There was no such thing as knockouts. The only knockout would be in the final round. We only get up because we have to get up. We don't get up because we want to defeat Shaytan. But you see, a person who has lived by La ilaha illallah, in this final round, he will give an uppercut to Shaytan, and Shaytan will be gone. He puts him to sleep. You see, Shaytan, you know, sometimes, dear brothers, scholars they mention that sometimes, you know, the Prophet ﷺ actually mentioned that al-hikmatu dhalatul mu'min. Wisdom is the lost property of the believer. I.e., sometimes you can learn so many things from the disbelievers. The way they carry themselves, their character, how polite they are, you know, how good they are in speech. We can learn all of these things from the disbelievers. Sometimes we can even learn something from Shaytan. What do we learn from Shaytan? We learn, look, you see, he doesn't give up. Shaitan will never ever give up. He will never ever give up. Just imagine. He has been promised Jahannam. He has been cursed by Allah. There's no way back for him. But despite this, he has so much passion to destroy you. Why don't we learn this lesson? That yes, Shaitan has knocked you down so many times. You know, and sometimes I've met certain youth, you know, youngsters, that they say that, you know, what's the point? Since the age of 13, 14, I'm 21, 22, 23 now. And all this time, all I've been doing is wasting my time. All I've been doing is sinning. I've never prayed a single salah in these 10 years, you know, of my youth age. Not a single salah. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran say? He says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah addresses these particular types of people. And he says, oh my beloved servants, look at the mercy of Allah. This person, who is Allah addressing? Allah's not addressing the pious people. Allah is addressing those people who have not even prayed a single salah in their entire lives. Even though they may be at the age of 60. 60 years he's never made a single sajda to Allah. 60 years all he has done is sin and he's disobeyed Allah. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala address this person? Does he say, Ya Adu Allah? Does he say, O enemy of Allah? What do you say? He says, Ya Ibadi, O my beloved servant. Yes, you have sinned so much. Yes, you have disobeyed me so much. But you are still my beloved servant. Then Allah, he clarifies, أَلَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Which type of servants am I talking to? I'm talking about those people who have transgressed all limits. They've transgressed all limits. All they've done is listen to Shaitan. What does Allah say? Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's never too late. If you find yourself in a situation, and it's not just particular to the youth, it's for everyone. If you find yourself in a situation that you've got so many illnesses in the heart, you are stuck up, you are arrogant, you love your ego. Youngsters love their ego. Honestly. All they do day and night, they feed their ego. Not knowing that life will teach them such lessons, life will humble you. This is the nature of life. You stick up so proud, you know, you walk as if you own the streets. Right? We're from Southwood, man, you don't know us. We're from Southwood. You don't know about Southwood boys. They walk on the streets as if they own it. But not knowing that life will take them on such a roller coaster ride, and that one day, on that same street that they used to show drugs, that same street that they used to walk so proudly on, they will be on the streets begging for pennies. This is the lesson of life. What right do we have to be arrogant? We came in a state when we were dirty. We came into this world in a state that we couldn't even clean our backside. We came to this world in a state that we couldn't even feed ourselves. And we are going to depart from this world in that state as well. And we have the audacity to be arrogant, Allah. What is the treatment for the illness of arrogance? One very simple point. Look at where you came from and look at where you're going. Look at where you came from and in what state you came from and look at where you're heading towards, i.e. your graves. Can anyone deny that they're not going to die? Can anyone deny this? This is another big problem of the youth. They're so stuck up, honestly. All they do is feed their ego. When are we going to become humble creatures of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he narrates, hadith Qudsi. He narrates and he says, that al-kibriya'u nidai wal-'azmatu izari. That pride is my upper garment. and honor is my lower garment. Then he says, whosoever has a dispute, has a problem with me about this, i.e. whosoever tries to be arrogant and proud, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy this person. Why is arrogance such a despicable act? Because pride and honor and respect is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are trying to bring something that belongs to Allah to you. Shaytan had arrogance. Once upon a time, he was a very, very pious man. But not a man, but a jinn. Right? Iblis, he was a very, very pious jinn. But what happened? Thousands and thousands of years of ibadah. Thousands and thousands of years of ibadah. To such an extent that he was in the companionship of the angels. This is his status. But one moment of arrogance destroyed him completely. So dear brothers, what we need to take away from here today. Parents, adults who are sitting here, youngsters who are sitting here. Parents, you need to show importance to the tarbiyah of your child. You see, you know what the problem starts from a young age. What I mean by young age, I don't mean at the age of 6 or the age of 5. I mean at the age of 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. We don't instill the love of the Quran, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of the child when they're young. But rather what do? We instill the love of iPad. We instill the love of cartoons when they are young. Immediately what happens, naturally what is going to happen to this person? This person, because he's been constantly watching cartoons when he was younger, when he grows older, he won't be watching cartoons, but he'll be following the dunya, prioritizing the dunya, and truly he will have no love for the religion of Allah. Why is it that when a child is born, we say the adhan and the iqama in the ears of this young child, this young newborn baby? Why is it? Why do we do this? This is a lesson. It's a lesson that Rasulullah is teaching us. That from now, the first thing that the child should hear when he comes out of the womb of the mother is Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. I.e. prioritize your life. Prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Not Spider-Man, not Batman, not all of these other rubbish cartoons that we have. Not dunya, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other ulama, they mention the real hikmah behind this. When we pray our janazah salah, you know someone dies? We pray janazah salah. Do we have adhan and iqamah in janazah salah? No. We don't have adhan, we don't have iqamah. And janazah salah, amongst the scholars, is not even known as a real salah. It's actually a dua. Because salah actually means dua. Because we have no ruku' in salatul janazah, we have no sajda in salatul janazah. What are we doing in salatul janazah? We are praying for the deceased. We are making dua for the deceased. The scholars have mentioned that what happened to the adhan and iqamah? It is a salah at the end of the day. What happened to the adhan and iqamah? Scholars mentioned adhan and iqamah was done 60 years ago when that person was, he was not into his work. Adhan and iqamah is done, we're just waiting for the imam to come. The imam is running a bit late. See, we learn how short life is. Life is very, very short. You're at the age of 14, 15, you're young now. Very, very soon you're going to be at the age of 25. Very soon you're going to be responsible for many, many people under you. Very soon you're going to be working day in, day out. Once you hit the working life, you know, so many adults here, you will work. You know this. Once you hit the working life, that's it. It's gone. Life will slip away from you. Then retirement will come. You see, you go and talk to the old people. They tell you about all of their regrets. If only I was your age, I would have done this. If only I was your age, I would have done this. We don't want to be a people who is constantly regretting. You see, the ulama, they mentioned something amazing. You know, the different stages of that. You have young age, you have
middle-aged people who are in the, you know, who are in the middle of their lives, and we have the elderly, the three stages of life. And even that can be further split up into various parts. But the point I want to make is, when you end one stage of your life, you go to the next stage of your life, you tend to normally regret all of the times that you wasted in the previous stage. You're a young child, and the only concern you have is that cartoon that you watch every day, Pokemon, and suddenly you revive once again. Yeah, those of you who know, you know. Right, and all of these other cartoons, that's the only concern that you have, football cards. That's your biggest worry. When can I get my next football card? The golden one, the one that shines. That's your only worry. When you grow up, that same person, nothing's changed. The only thing that's changed is that he's grown older, he's grown a bit mature. What will he do? And you know, I'm so silly. You know what I used to do? I used to run off these deals, you know, silly cards. I used to watch these silly programs. Now he'll do more real stuff. Running off the girls, right? Having this so-called bad man life. It's all fake. It doesn't exist. And then when this person, he's going through this stage now, is what we call so-called gangster life, right? Which is so amazing apparently, right? And I achieve the things they do, I'm not going to go into it. They move on, they become men, right? Because at the end of the day, these people who are in these gangs and all that, they were kids, right? When they grow up and become mature, when they're men, they start regretting, you know, I was so silly, wearing my trousers, you know, so low, right? And you know, I want everyone, all youngsters who are sitting here, go on the internet and research about where this so-called low back is, where it started and how it started. Right? I don't want to go into it, but this is your homework. Go on, do this. And when you read it, if you've got any sense in you, you will never ever, right, forget your belt at home. And if you've got a belt, you make sure you tighten it. So this person, he moves on. And now he's a man, he starts regretting about all the time that he wasted when he was a teenager. All the time he wasted chasing after girls. All the time he wasted watching films. All the time he wasted on the streets with his friends, doing nothing productive. All the time that he bumped his lessons. All the time that he bumped his exams. He'll grow up, life will hit him, reality will hit him, and he'll start regretting. Now he's working, the only concern he has is money. How can I make money? How can I get by? And he will spend years doing this. Then a time will come when he's at the age of 40, 45, 50. Well, he says, you know what? I need to buy a house back home. I need to settle down. I need to prepare the time for my children when they grow up and they don't find any hardship like I find a hardship. They will spend their days and night doing this. Again, it's all about dunya. Then they will hit old age. And when they hit old age, they will regret all of that time. That they wasted chasing after money. That they wasted chasing after that house or that property or that land back home. And then when they pass away and they hit their graves, They will regret the entire lives. From when he was a child watching Pokemon, to when he was an elderly person, trying to make money, trying to own land, trying to purchase houses, wasting their time. But you see, what we notice is, throughout all of these stages, that regret can become productive. But once we have departed from this world, there's no point of regretting. No point of regretting. That's why the disbelievers, when they see the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, when they will see their punishments, they will say, Ya laytani, that if only I can return back to this world, if only I can return back to this world, I'll be from those people who will fear Allah. The question we all need to ask ourselves, do we want to be from those people on the day of Qiyamah who are going to regret all of their lives, the entire life that they spent in the disobedience of Allah? Or do we want to be from those people who will receive glad tidings from the angels?
Allah will say to the angel will say to them, when you are entering Jannah, just imagine the scene. The doors of Jannah are open for you. Allah say, look, you passed, you've done well, you've entered Jannah. Admit us into Jannah. You'll be entering Jannah. The angels will be there at the door. You know when a guest comes, you haven't seen this guest for a long time. And you've invited this guest. And you're so happy to see this guest. What do? Before that person or that guest even knocks the door, we open the door. We open the door with a big smile and we say, welcome, welcome, ahlan wa sahlan, marhaban bikum. Yeah, welcome, come to my house, you know, assalamu alaikum. We greet this person with a happy face. In the same way on the day of Qiyamah when we are entering Jannah, who will be welcoming us? The angels. The angels will welcome us, and what do we say? They will say, Salamun alaykum tibtum. They will say, peace be upon you. You know what? You did very well in this world. Well done. Tibtum. Well done. Fadkhuluha khalideen. And enter into Jannah forever and ever. We lived a life, this person, he lived a life full of stress, full of tension, full of difficulties, full of problems. Financial problems, problems to do with their families, so many different types of problems. Each and every stage of their life, this person faced problem. And this is why one scholar, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked that, ya Imam, when are we going to find comfort and peace? When are we going to find comfort and peace? So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he said, أول قدم يضعها في الجنة. The first step that a person can place in Jannah is when he can say, you know what, I'm problem free. No problem for me. This is a time, dear brothers, when Ashabul Nar, the people of the hellfire, and they will regret all of their time that they wasted. And you know, there's actually going to be a conversation between the people of the fire and the people of Jannah. Allah mentioned this. Surah Al-A'raf. Allah mentions, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ. The people of Jannah, they will ask the people of the fire, أَنْ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا. That you know what, we found all of the promises of Allah to be true. Have you also found all of the promises that were promised for the disbelievers and for the sinners to be true? Did you find the promise of Allah to be true? قَالُوا نَعَمْ. They will say yes. Then later on, what will happen? When the people of Jahannam, they're going to be punished. When the people of Jannah are going to be enjoying their blessings. Again, another discussion will take place. But this time, the Ashab al-Nar will call out to the Ashab al-Jannah. And Allah mentions that وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. The people of the fire, they will tell, they will ask, they will request the people of Jannah that pour some water for us. We are burning, we need some water, we're thirsty. There's no cold water, you know, in Jahannam. The only water which will, or the only liquid rather, that will quench the thirst will be pus and blood. So then we say, أَنَّ فِيضُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ. Pour some water for us. Or give something which Allah has provided you with. They will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُ مَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah has made these things haram for the people who have disobeyed Allah. And these people, they will just say, you know, they will stay in Jahannam forever and ever. Their punishment will be so severe that they will proclaim to the gatekeeper of Jahannam. This gatekeeper, his name is Malik. Allah mentions in the Quran as well. His name is Malik. He is the gatekeeper of Jahannam. It is narrated about him that he has a stern face. Never ever smiles. The people of Jahannam, they will say that request, you know, make a request to Allah. Make a dua to Allah that Allah makes, you know, reconsiders his decision. You know when we fail an exam, right? Fail an exam, we can do resets. Right? We fail an exam and we send it for remarking because we believe that we were cheated. We send it for remarking. They will say that, you know, Malik, oh Malik, tell Allah to remark our exam, to reconsider our state. The narration mentioned that Malik will only respond to them after 1,000 years. Just imagine this. Just imagine you're sending an email to the examination board. And you're desperate. You know, your life depends on this one exam. Your life depends on this one exam. If you pass the exam, you're going to get entered into the top university. Yeah, Oxford University, Cambridge University, and all of these other big universities that you have. And if you get that, I see your life sorted. One exam. And you fail that exam, but you think that, you know, I'll be cheated here. I actually passed this exam. You send an email to the examination board. And the examination board will reply. Just imagine the feeling that you're going to get. Al-intiraru ashaddu min al-maut. Apprehension and waiting is more severe than death itself. So they will proclaim, oh Malik, make dua to Allah. Oh Malik, make dua to Allah. Malik will not respond. He'll respond after 1,000 years. What is his response going to be? Finally, the response has come. You think, you know, if it's positive, it's worth the wait. Yeah, it's worth the wait. He will say, sorry, tough luck. You had your chance in the dunya. Why didn't you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then? You had so many opportunities. Why didn't you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then? You are those types of people that if you were to return back to the world, you would do exactly the same thing. You're just saying, if only I had an opportunity, I'll go back to the world, I can become pious. You're saying that. But for argument's sake, if Allah was to do that to you, then what will happen? You'll do the exact same thing as we used to do. For all of those years that you wasted in the disobedience of Allah. So anyway, ending it here, we need to take away from today, youngsters, that reconsider your lives. Think about where you're going. Think about how strong your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And always remember, the time that you spend in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never ever regret. The time that you spend wasting with your friends, wasting in the disobedience of Allah, you will find that that is, you know, that is a time where you regret forever and ever. Even on the day of Qiyamah, you will regret this. Don't waste your time. Time wasting is an illness in our communities. We waste so much time. You know, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, we're talking about death, right? That when you're in the last stage of death, it is a summary of your entire life. Let me prove it to you through one incident that Imam Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah mentions in his book, Siyar wa A'lam al-Nubala. He mentions regarding Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. Who was Imam Abu Yusuf? Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa. And he was the great, one of the greatest qadis who have ever lived. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, great scholar of Islam. You see, a person who dedicated his life in learning the religion and teaching the religion. He is that person that one day his mom came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and said that, you know what, my child can't attend your lessons because he needs to go out and work because we're poor. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said that no, he has to attend lessons. He is a very, very bright kid. Don't worry about the money, I will pay for you. Imam Yusuf rahimahullah, he grew up to become one of the greatest imams to have ever lived. Imam Yusuf rahimahullah, when he was passing away, he called his students, one of his students. And he said, and maybe, you know, the student, he was thinking, you know, maybe he's calling me because he wants a glass of water or he wants something that he desires. You know, last stages, everyone knows he's passing away. Any minute he's going to breathe his last. So he's thinking, okay, you know, maybe he's asking for something which is obvious. So Imam Yusuf rahimahullah, he called him, come here. And by the time the student got here, got to the bed, Imam Yusuf rahimahullah, he fell unconscious. He fainted. This is what happens when you're at the end of life, when you're at the end of your life, and you're going through the pangs and the pains of death, you come in and out of consciousness. This is what happened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So he passed out. When he regained consciousness, he says, sorry, I was going to say, that what is your opinion about this masala? This particular incident, what do you think? What is the ruling about this particular incident? If this happened and it was a masala regarding Hajj, it was an incident regarding Hajj, that if a Haji was to do this, what is the fatwa?
What is your opinion, oh my beloved student? He is passing away. And look at what he's doing. He's thinking about a filthy masala. Why? Because he spent his entire life in the States. These were the scholars of Islam. These, their youngsters, these are our champions. These are our role models. Not all of these rappers who couldn't give, you know, a monkey's about you. Who couldn't give a monkey's about you. They don't even know who you are. For all they care, they might even wish harm for you. Our role model is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of these giants of Islam were passed. Learn from these people. Learn about their lives. If you want inspiration, learn about their lives. And when you see what they achieved in such a short amount of time, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, I know I'm going to end, but so many things are popping in my head. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, who was he? He was that Imam, he was that great scholar of hadith, the author of Riyadh al-Saliheen that is in every single masjid in the world. Every single masjid in the world will have a copy of Riyadh al-Saliheen. Such acceptance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his book. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, you know, when you read, when you see how much he contributed to Islam and what legacy he left behind, we would think, okay, yeah, mashallah, very long life. Yeah? He lived 70, 80 years. You know what age he passed away? He passed away at the age of 47, approximately. 47 years old. In his mid-40s. Yeah, they say life starts when you're 40. That means when his life started, he passed away. 47 years old and he passed away. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. See, how is it that people think that how is it possible that this person can achieve so much in such a short amount of time? He started young. He started when he was a young man, when he could have spent that time in the disobedience of Allah. And you know what's interesting about him? He never got married. Someone asked him that, yeah, Imam, you know, complete the sunnah, huh? Complete half your deen, as they say. That's the pickup line now. Complete half your deen. You always forget about the second part of that hadith. You know the hadith, he says that whosoever gets married has completed half the deen. No one ever talks about the second half of the hadith. فَلْيَتَّقُ اللَّهَ فِي النِّصْفِ الْبَاقِي. Yeah, complete half your deen. Then you go to the wedding is full of haram. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the second part of the hadith, that fear Allah in the second half of your deen. You complete in one half, the second half is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So someone asked him, Imam Nawawi, ya Imam, you know, get married. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah said, you know what, I want to get married, but you know what, sis don't have time. Sis can't commit, right? My concern is serving hadith. That's why he became who he became. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, Allahu Akbar, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gathers us with such people on the day of Qiyamah. What a great individual. And you know, Imam Nawawi is just one of them. There's many, many other scholars who died at a young age. They didn't get married because of their commitment to their religion. This is why Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah ta'ala, he has compiled an entire book called Al-Ulama Al-Uzzab Al-Ladina Atharu Al-Ilma Ala Al-Zawaj. Those scholars who did not get married because they preferred serving the religion of Allah over marriage. An entire book about all of the scholars who didn't get married because of the religion of Allah. I'm not saying don't get married. What I'm saying is that look at their dedication to the religion of Allah. Youngsters, we need to ask ourselves, what legacy are you leaving behind? Who's going to remember you and me? Imam Nawawi passed a very, very long time ago. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah passed a very, very long time ago. Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam al-Shafi'i, all of these great giants of Islam, they passed away thousands of years ago. They didn't have Facebook pages. They didn't have celebrity status. They didn't have Instagram pages. They didn't have YouTube channels. They didn't have Wikipedia talking about all of them. Their effort was sincere, and because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them acceptance. This is why there's one poet who says that many, many people have died, or many, many people they live, and it is as if they are dead in the community. No one even knows them. Because they're not making effort behind deen. They're not leaving a legacy behind. And he says that many, many people have died, but in actual fact, they're still alive almost today. Why? Because we still remember these people, Imam al-Nawawi. And every time we mention these people, look at the acceptance that Allah gave them, Allah. Every time we mention their name, we always say, Rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. We're always making dua for him. What legacy are you going to leave behind? Who is going to remember me and you 1,000 years later? And if they do remember us, is it going to be for something good or for something bad? Who is going to make dua for me and you 1,000 years later? What legacy are you leaving behind? Dear brothers, life is very, very short. Let's not waste our time. Let's make it a productive life. Let's make it such a life. You know, we come into this world in a state that we are crying. A scholar or a poet says that you entered this world in a state that you are crying. Live such a life that when you are, you came into this world, you were crying, and your family members, were they crying as well? Oh no, not the time. Were they crying? They were happy, right? Everyone was happy that, you know, another child, another addition to the family. So this poet says that you came into this world in a state that you were crying, but everyone around you was laughing. So he says that live such a life that the tables will turn. When you are departing from this world, it is going to be the other way around. You are going to be laughing because you can see the blessings that Allah has kept in store for you. You can see Jannatul Firdaus. You can see that the angel has come in a good manner. And these are all glad tidings for you. You are laughing and the people around you are crying. People normally cry when someone passes away. They remember this dead person, you know, for 5 days, sometimes for a week. Sometimes, you know, the most that person will be remembered for will be for a few months. Then what will happen? Slowly, slowly, the remembrance and the mention of that person will decrease. Slowly, slowly. It will decrease, it will decrease, it will decrease. And a time will come when no one remember you. Initially, every day people will come to your grave and will be visiting your grave, making dua for you. And 2-3 months down the line, once a week, once a month, few months more down the line, no one will come. Every once in a year only. And those who know you, they will soon pass away as well. The next generation don't even know anything about you. No one's going to read your names. The question is, dear brothers, that when we are going to pass away, are we going to leave a positive legacy behind? Are people going to speak good of us, or are people going to speak bad of us? We need to all think, you know, we need to have high aspirations. We need to stop being lazy. Ulubul himma, what we call it. High aspiration is something which is an illness in the Muslim community today. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith, he says that إِذَا سَأَلْتَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. That if you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ, if you ask Allah for Jannah, you all know there's different stages of Jannah, right? You have the lower level that you have, Jannatul Firdaus, the highest level. He says, if you want to ask for Jannah, then make sure you ask for Jannatul Firdaus. We learn from this, always have high aspirations. Don't think, you know what, I don't even know anything about my religion. I can't leave any legacy behind. Like I said, it's never too late. Spend your time, youngsters, in seeking the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn about his life. Learn about all of the battles that he went through. Learn about all of the difficulties he went through. Learn about all of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the likes of Umar radiallahu anhu, how great of a person he was. The likes of the Rasul of Allah, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. The likes of Muthanna ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. The likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. You know, subhanAllah, when we say these names, I don't know about you, but I get shivers down my back. When you say these names, the acceptance that Allah has given them is so great that you get shivers when you hear these names. Because of how great of a life they lived. But you say, you know, Muhammad who passed away last week, no one cares about him. What he used to do, he used to spend his nights and days on the streets, you know, messing around, doing silly things. Look at the comparison, Allah. Where were we and what have we become? So dear brothers, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah protects our youth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives all of our youth the abilities to learn the religion of Allah, to leave a positive legacy behind. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our youth, when all of us adults, when we pass away, these youngsters, these children are going to grow up and take our place. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah makes them a good replacement. That Allah makes them the flag bearers of Islam. Allah makes them a means of the protection of His religion. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان الله.